Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. While the cold weather has reduced the number of people on bikes and scooters, over the past couple of years, we've seen an increase in electric bikes, scooters, and e-motos on Cape and Islands roadways and bike paths. These electric vehicles can be a great alternative to cars, helping to reduce traffic, air pollution, and carbon emissions. But when they're not ridden in a safe manner, they do pose a risk. Joining us to talk about safe operation of electric two-wheeled vehicles is Jody Casper. She's police chief on Nantucket. Welcome, Chief.
Good morning. Thank you.
Galen Mook is the executive director of the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition. Hi, Galen.
Hey, happy to be here.
Aram Gashgarian is lieutenant with the Harwich Police Department. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Catherine Jensen's chair of the Falmouth Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Mindy. Nice to be here.
So let's start by describing two-wheeled electric bikes. On some of these bikes, you see people pedaling. Some you see people moving right along without using the pedals. Galen, what are the different kinds of e-bikes and e-motos out there?
That's a really good question, Mindy. So we have a wide variety of different electric vehicles that are coming on the market. And so we're kind of doing a little bit of catch-up in terms of defining, and with that comes the catch-up of the regulations. But what we have done with the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition is really kind of focus on the e-bikes, which are federally classified. There's three different types of classes, although we have two of them defined here in Massachusetts. They're pedal assist and there's throttle assist. And those are the typical e-bikes that you would see sold at bike shops that are, you know, people going around their daily business, similar to how bicycles, ride, and they maneuver very similar to those. Those top out with a motor assist at 20 miles an hour, which can be fast for sure. But it's definitely distinct from some of the e-motos of what we are seeing, which are essentially electric dirt bikes. Some of those can reach speeds of 45 and 50 miles an hour that are out there. There is really no regulations, no definitions in state law around that. So what we're finding is local jurisdictions are kind of having to do a kind of amalgamation of electric moped, or kind of figuring out other ways of defining what these devices are. And then similar to that, we also have electric scooters. Some are scooters, some are the riding scooters. We also have electric skateboards, all the one wheels. And so I think what we're seeing here is a little bit of a whack-a-mole as we try to define one device, another device will pop up and become very popular. So this is the challenge with which we are facing.
Yeah. And Chief Casper, that is a challenge, right? Because if we don't have the regulations following these things as they come out, how do you regulate that locally? And tell us what you do on Nantucket.
Right. Certainly not an uncommon problem to have the laws haven't quite caught up with what we're seeing out in the street. We see that in lots of different areas with different types of technology crimes or drugs, or here we are in the world of two and three and even one-wheeled devices that we're not sure what box to put them in. And we call it kind of putting a square peg in a round hole until regulators are able to give us laws that everything fits perfectly into. So we work with really the spirit of the law, and that's our interpretation. So the law that has already been referenced is essentially any e-bike in Mass has to go, doesn't go any more than 20 miles an hour. If it goes faster than that, it's not an e-bike. It's something else. And that is very clear in Mass law. Now, what is it? It may be a motorized bicycle. It may be a scooter. It may even be a motorcycle. So here in Nantucket, we have just had a huge issue with these sorts of devices on our roadways. And we just put an initiative in place on November 14th. In the 10 days prior to that initiative, we had three students involved in separate e-bike and motorized device accidents on our island with injuries. We're really seeing this as a major issue. So we focused a lot on getting the word out about what an e-bike is. I think parents may not fully understand. Maybe they're buying something online that's called an e-bike and is marketed as an e-bike, but it's not an e-bike. It falls into one of those other classes, probably something that you need a driver's license for. Right. So I felt very grinchy because I know that I've ruined some Black Friday things and Christmas gifts that were planned, but I'm actually glad that we were able to get it out before people started buying gifts for Christmas and accidentally buying their kids something that goes 40 miles an hour.
Right, exactly. Aram, what are you seeing in Harwich? Are you similar rules following the e-bikes?
Yeah, certainly. Very, very similar to what the chief just said. We did have probably four to five separate e-bike crashes this summer. In one case, there were three of them riding together, and the way they were riding, they all kind of bounced off each other, ended up spilled out in the road together. Our biggest issue has been the groups of kids who are riding down the bike path and harassing the people on the bike path. We had a big problem with that, and the mechanism to deal with these things, it doesn't give us a lot of usually you tell them, knock it off, go home, right, call a parent, and some of them ride off and don't take the time to talk to you. But the e-bike thing here has definitely become it was an issue for us this summer for sure, and it seems to be growing. We are starting to encounter a lot of those electric dirt bikes, if you will, like was referenced in the beginning. And these kids are riding these things. We see them riding wheelies down the middle of the road. I think I wish we could have done what the chief said and ruined some Christmases, because I think parents are buying these for their kids and just sticking them out there without any. I mean, 40, 45 miles an hour is it's kind of dangerous for a young kid to be driving. So.
Catherine, it appears that some of the e-bikes out there are going faster than 20 miles per hour. Do these classifications apply to the e-bikes that are sold in the state, and are manufacturers required to label products as such?
The class three e-bike, which is pedal assist, can go up to 28. I'd like to note, though, that in the US, class two e-bikes, which is a throttle and pedal assist, can be easily modifiable. Some of them just a screwdriver and adjusting a couple of settings. So we have an eye on that as well. But the larger problem is really the e-motos, that whole giant category of e-dirt bike, whatever. And part of the problem in the Commonwealth, there is a law that defines the classes and also lays out a process for towns and municipalities to restrict the use on bike paths. However, we're a municipality and it actually doesn't lay out a process for that. It's like a little oopsie in the law. This is our town legal council voted on this. But I would say, furthermore, that in Europe, it's very common for our e-bike miles per hour to be tapped out at 15 and not as easily modifiable. Our speed limit on the Shining Sea Bikeway is 15. However, there's no practical way to enforce that. Giant stretches between streets, CCRT has a very similar problem, Cape Cod Rail Trail. So does Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. So it's very difficult to enforce. And I, as a citizen, have a hard time arguing should my officer be pulling over an OUI or on the bike path. So we've wrangled with a lot of different ways to maybe, get some solve on this.
I don't I is does it say 15 miles per hour on the bike path? I don't know that I've ever seen that.
It does.
Oh, it
There are
does.
speed limit signs. We're reviewing the signage on the bike path, but our town is also doing a wayfinding project, and we want our signage to be consistent with how the town will be doing signage. So more pictographs and less verbiage, more simple, clear things. However, I would note on Cape Cod Rail Trail, there's signage that says, stop, get off your bike, walk. Pretty dang clear. And I see, probably 10% of people maybe actually do that.
Again, as you're hearing the what's happening in these towns, is this what you're hearing like everywhere across the state? Everybody has this problem?
Oh, well, yes, it's a very common concern. And every municipality, unfortunately, with the way that Massachusetts is laid out, has their own way of tackling the problem. So at MassBike, we are a statewide advocacy organization. So our task is kind of to get the lay of the land from, Pittsfield to P-Town, and to figure out what's going on and to help kind of guide the local municipalities, local jurisdictions to actually do the work. Because they're the ones who are going to be installing the signs, having the local enforcement, doing the local education. And so our job is to kind of really bring the concerns together and see where there is overlap and see where there is share. And certainly, I think what we're seeing now is speeds on the bike paths are definitely a concern. Although I will note that they have kind of always been a concern. Once, racing bikes became really popular and multi-geared bikes can get out there. I mean, it's 15 miles an hour on the Shining Sea for sure, but on a normal pedal bike, the Peloton racers could easily go above 15. So I want to mention this is not just an e-bike problem. But I do want to say that, what we are seeing is the faster devices that aren't e-bikes. I want to be clear that we're talking the real concerns that we're seeing with the youth riding 45 miles an hour are not e-bikes, although it's hard to get that message and the way that it's being conflated. I understand why they are presented as such. But really what we're seeing are these are like electric mopeds. And so our job at MassBike is to work with MassDOT, the RMV, to really set guidelines. And then to your question earlier about manufacturers, it's going to be very hard to get manufacturers to really follow our laws because we're just one state. And there's many ways in which there's a lot of illegal sales or maybe as the chief was mentioning, kind of the marketing tactics get a little fuzzy. So that's going to be the real challenge. But I think the idea of getting something codified either through the legislature or through the RMV so that it's very clear for municipalities, whether they're friends of groups of a bike path or whether they're police departments, so that they can identify what these devices are. And then they can do education campaigns to really get that spread to say where you should ride these and where you should not ride these. But to answer your quick question, I think across the state, nobody is encouraging any speeds above 20 miles an hour on any pathways. And so this is the problem that we have to tackle is how do we then message that to the device users now?
Chief, I guess in the state of Massachusetts, are all of these two-wheeled vehicles, e-bikes, e-dirt bikes, electric scooters, are they legally allowed on the road?
On
On the
the side
road.
of the road. Yeah, it depends on what you're talking about, depending on the speed. Scooters, for instance, can ride in traffic, right? Other things have to pull to the right. So it kind of depends on the device that you're on.
I got an email here that says that the experience on the bike path is that most of them either ignore or don't see the signage. It happens a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
We also see gas-powered moped scooters. Does the law differentiate between gas-powered and electric moped scooters, and does it come down to speed?
Well, I can speak to the Shining Sea Bikeway, and then I'll be quick, Galen. We're clear that that's a motorized vehicle and that is not allowed on the bikeway. And so I believe the state also defines that, but Galen, I'll toss it to you and.
Yeah, I think that the challenge is that the laws around the faster devices were written in the 70s when mopeds were the thing. So they talk about CCs of engines, and it's gas powered. And so what we need to do essentially, which is in process, and I should mention that there is a very robust commission that is chartered by MassDOT right now that's going to come out with recommendations. It's the Micro Mobility Commission that is involving Executive Office of Public Safety and Security. It's involving the RMV. It's involving MassDOT and some of the jurisdictions that are facing some of this. So my forecast is that probably in the starting of the new year, or maybe the end of January, we'll have some very firm recommendations for where we can kind of fix the law. But right now it's the gray area because the laws that were written were for gas powered because the electric devices didn't exist. However, what we're looking at is like the speed limitations that we're re referencing with mopeds that are essentially motorized bicycles by definition. I think it would be very easy to just start to add in electric. And then we might need to figure out a tiered situation of speeds. And so what the Micro Mobility Commission is working on is basically different tiers of groupings of devices so that we're not playing whack-a-mole. Anything that can go 0 to 20 essentially would, I'm kind of referencing a draft here, would be a tier 0, and those would be allowed essentially on the bike paths, which is what we have now with the Class 1s and Class 2 e-bikes. Anything that can go faster than 20 miles an hour might be considered a Class 1. And so there might be extra prohibitions on that. Maybe they're prohibited on certain bike paths. And that involves not just the scooters and the bikes, but really any device that's an e-device that can go that way. And then you might have a tier 2, which is a 30 to 40 miles an hour, and then et cetera, as the lanes go down. So what we're tackling with the Micromobility Commission is essentially the devices that are, what you have when grandmas are riding to the ice cream store with their niece, which is what we want on the bikeway, all the way up to what we're going to see with electric motorcycles, because those are going to be very fast, pun intended, very quickly coming down the manufacturer's offerings. And I think, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things, not to speak for everyone here, but I, for one, would encourage less internal combustion engines out there. I would encourage fewer cars and more smaller devices, especially in urban areas where people aren't going that far, or maybe there's deliveries involved and something along those lines. But we definitely need to make sure that there's clarity in how we can, again, educate and then enforce where and how these things should be ridden.
Catherine, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that the state of Connecticut passed a law that went into effect in October of this year. So they define Class 1 and 2 e-bikes are allowed to, the existing definition, are allowed to ride on a multimodal path. And then class three, anything going up to over 750 watts and under 3,500 watts now requires a driver's license and a helmet if one is under 16. So I can only think of 6 months when they have a license and they're under
Yeah, I
16.
was going to say the same.
And then anything above that, above 3,500 watts, which kind of puts you in that 45 mile an hour category, has to have a license, insurance, registration, and the rider wearing a helmet. They've just put this into effect, so we'll see how effective that is. But at least they're trying to sort out, who goes where,
Right.
doing what, and at what age. I would note, unlike what Galen's talking about, they did not address, the one-wheelers, all the other strange e-vehicles out there.
Yeah.
So that's, but it's a start.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. Listening to The Point, and we are talking about the safe operation of electric two-wheeled vehicles. With us is Jody Casper, police chief on Nantucket, Gayla Mook, executive director of the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition, Aram Goshgarian, lieutenant with the Harwich Police Department, and Catherine Jensen. She's chair of the Falmouth Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Is there any law or regulation that stipulates the age at which someone can operate an e-moto on the roadways?
It depends. Yes, yes, and no. And so, if it's an e-bike, a true e-bike that we've talked about that goes under 20 miles an hour, 20 or under, then no, anyone can ride those bikes. There's no age limits on those. As soon as you hit 20 and your mode of transportation falls into a different class, pretty much you have to have a learner's permit or a license, which means you would need to be 16. So that's our interpretation of the law. We hope that we have more clarity moving forward. As we've talked about, there's some interesting legislation being considered, which would probably be very helpful for us and our officers and for people to best understand what they should and shouldn't be on.
Aaron, you mentioned, the kids who are, riding, are they teenagers mostly, or are they all ages? What are you seeing?
Mostly teenagers, yes. And when we talk about the speeds these things are able to attain, talking to the troops on the road, what they encounter a lot is you stop these kids for, doing a wheelie or just driving unsafe, or just talk to them and they tell you, oh, it only can do 20. Or we have, I couldn't tell you how fast the thing can go if I'm seeing it not in action. So that prevents a whole problem. Enforcement for us is an issue. I think everybody is really hesitant to write a citation on one of these kids for something, but there is no really. I hope that with the new bill they're considering, they really consider law enforcement's opinions on it and come up with some pretty good. I don't know. There has to be a better way to do this. I'm not on the committee, so if I was, I'd probably be able to. I guess I'd have some answers, but that is a problem from the enforcement of we often just send them home, or there needs to be a mechanism to better address some of the operation of these vehicles. And you can write them a $20 ticket, but some of these kids don't not even 16 years old, so
Galen, is
it's
that
it.
something you're talking about? Is the enforcement side of this?
Definitely. I mean, that's kind of the one of the impetuses to kind of get this conversation really moving forward at the official level with the State Commission. We are, and this again, these are all in draft ideas right now, but they are more formulated than I'm making them out to be. There's an idea of having some sort of identification for some of these devices if they go a certain speed. So maybe not the class ones and class twos, although we already have in state law that they have to have a sticker on the e-bikes. These are the slower speed up to 20 mile an hour e-bikes. They have to have an affixed sticker. So we wrote that into the law when we signed that. So that's already been kind of established, but all the rest of the devices, again, because they're in the gray area, don't really have any sort of hook. So there's a concept of the RMV looking at what they're calling a micro ID, which is basically like a little RFID or a little QR code that would be required to be affixed to a device that tells you at least what tier it is. So it doesn't need, if it's a one wheel or a skateboard, whatever, if it still goes 20 to 30 miles an hour, then you would know that as a police officer, you would be able to identify the device. There's a lot of questions around, are we going to have any personal identification with that? And my call is, maybe different than some of the others, but I think, we don't want it to be a kind of I don't mean to say a slippery slope, but like there's the conversation of are you going to register these vehicles? And there's no way that the RMV would be able to start to register some of these that are the slower speed ones. Of course, if they go faster, the faster ones are basically treated like mopeds and motorcycles, which already have a registration process. So there is the idea of how are we going to actually require some sort of identification of the device itself. And I think we might be one of the first states in the country to be looking at that. So this is something that we're piloting out there specifically to the lieutenant's concerns around, okay, if you're an officer out there and you see somebody going in a reckless manner and you stop them, you want to look at the device to see if it's allowed, how is the officer supposed to know? And right now, if you look at the police form, it's 15 or 30 different checkboxes that a police officer has to know. And how are they supposed to know the difference between a class one versus a class two? So this is the real challenge that I'm hoping that the commission can really spur either with legislation or with something that the RMV really starts to tackle to allow the local jurisdictions to have the power.
All right. Tom is giving us a call from Harwich. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Hey, I've only owned one car in my life, and I gave it away to a friend back in 1988 when I moved to Nantucket and been biking ever since out there. And with the wind in your face sometimes, I mean, you always dreamed of having a little extra power or some oomph to, to fight against it. But so I got an electric bike when they came out early, and been on one since for 11 years now, only my second one. And they're a joy until they're not, because the electric, the components to it, if you had to work on that yourself, it's a real chore. Or to find somebody that would be willing to touch the bike, that if they didn't sell it to you, they don't want anything to do with it. If you get it from China, you have to assemble it yourself, and there's no support group or tech support that you can hope on for that. So when they go bad on you, they're really difficult. Just to change a flat tire is extremely taxing. But the thing about them, all these bikes can be hacked to do 28 miles an hour. Or there's extra oomph things that you can buy for them. And you have to be aware that you're going down the road faster or with traffic. You could, I mean, you're a hazard. And the cars resent you because you're going as fast as they can. And they have to go 50 miles to go around you. And it's very dangerous for that. You need a mirror if you're going to be on the road. Just to take your eye off the road for a minute to look in your rear view mirror, you're already like 100 feet down the road, and you can climb a curb. And I mean, I see everybody on these things now, so you can't be naive. This is the wave of the future. The kids on these things that do 50 miles an hour, they're popping wheelies down Route 28. It's crazy.
So, Tom,
I mean, you can't stop them on the bike path either, because even these super bikers that look like they're in Tour de France, they're doing 35 miles an hour. And you can't hear them, but you could hear an e-bike.
Tom, thank you for calling and sharing that. Tom brings up a lot of points. You know what you're getting into, right? And that extra oomph, we didn't talk about that. I guess there's things you can buy to give your bike a little extra oomph, right? So it can go a little faster.
It is. If I can chime in, that is one of the tricky things, is that you can buy stickers online that say class one or two and just slap them on any bike. You can buy a bike that is a class two and has a legitimate sticker on it, and then modify it to go much faster. So these things, these kind of safeguards that we would typically put in place to help officers out there to be able to better know what they're dealing with, you can't really rely on them. And there's so many the cheat codes and fake stickers and ways to modify them, ways to unmodify them so they look like they don't go faster. It's really a complicated world out there.
And as Tom said, it's not going away, right? It's just going to be more. So which
It's
is
not.
yeah
He touched on one other interesting thing that we haven't really talked about too much, is just the challenge. It's the challenge of enforcement and resources that you touched on, Mindy. Like, do we really want to use our resources this way? But it's also actually just logistically and physically very challenging and dangerous to try to stop someone on one of these things. We don't want to cause an accident from someone fleeing from us. You know, if we have a 9 or a 10 or 12 year old or anyone of any age, right, on something where we're trying to stop them, it's very dangerous. The way that we've been doing it out here is we've been using fixed posts, meaning we have officers in areas where people are required to stop. Maybe they're at a crosswalk, or they're at the school, at the bike rack at the school, paired up with school admin, talking to kids and doing education. So the work that we've been doing has been focused on that, because I'm so wary of having officers chasing anybody on these things and having somebody get hurt.
Yeah, that makes sense. What kinds of laws or regulations are in place for wearing helmets or having lights on these vehicles that are used on the roadways? Because, you know, I mean, you're supposed to wear a helmet even on a bike, right? But not everybody does.
So if it's an e-bike, the 20 and under, if they're under 16, they're supposed to wear a helmet. That's kind of the only restriction on a helmet for the e-bike, but they're supposed to follow the rules of a regular bicycle, if you will, on the road, right? On the right side, no more than 2 abreast. And it does make, you know, when Mass passed that part of that new law, the vulnerable user law, you have to give pedestrians, bicyclists 4 feet when you're passing. That I almost got taken out by a 10-wheel dump truck last week driving my own car. He was passing on a curve where it was unsafe to do so, but he was trying to go around a bicycle. I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So just people do often ask, because we've had that question asked, is it permissible to pass to go over the double solid? The answer is yes, if you're trying to create that 4 feet, as long as it's safe to do so, of course. But that's a common question that we get here. Well, it says I can't pass, like it's double solid. It's okay.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Aram, you bring a good point, though, about following the same rules as a bicycle, but people don't know that either. You know, you see people, you're supposed to, like when we grew up, it was like you ride facing the traffic, right? You see the cars coming. Yes. Now you're supposed to ride with the traffic. And so the I don't think a lot of people actually understand even what the bicycle rules are.
No, and that goes for people walking, people running. I'm a pretty avid runner, and I see people run, like, why are you on that side of the road? Or how about this perfectly good sidewalk you could be on? Versus some people get it, but a lot of people don't understand it.
Yeah. Galen, you're nodding your head. You get that a lot, I bet, right?
Well, this is a really big challenge. And this is one of the things that MassBike tries to excel at, is the cycling education. But we only reach who we can reach as a nonprofit, you know, with so many staff. So we are trying to institute and instill kind of a general requirement for education. Perhaps I would really love to have biking and walking education in the public school system, for instance. That would be amazing to have that mandated. However, that would require dealing with every single teacher union and trying to get some funding behind it. We do work greatly with police departments across the Commonwealth. We work with the Safe Routes to Schools program, which is funded through MassDOT. We've been invited by select municipalities to help present to middle schoolers on this problem. And, you know, happy to come to Nantucket, happy to come to Harwich. But the idea of, like, it's a little bit of a drop in the bucket of what we're seeing for the demand and the need out there, especially because the population, the popularity of these devices is really just taken off in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And this is my pitch to anybody listening. If you want to get in touch with MassBike to help us present some of the education, we're happy to help train trainers. We have a whole system of getting certified instructors out there, but the need is endless. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for youths, I will say. We are engaged in a lot of adult education. There is a e-bike voucher rebate program that the state is engaged in right now. So low-income residents can receive discounts on the slower speed class 1s and class 2 e-bikes. And MassBike is charged with presenting some education with that and community outreach with that. But again, what we're seeing here is the demand is far outstripping our capacity at this point.
Yeah. Now we have the local roads, and then we have the state highway roads. Are the laws different depending on the roadways, or is it the same?
As far as I know, they are the same, although I'll defer to the officers on hand. But it's trickier when it comes down to pathways, because pathways have multiple jurisdictions. I think the idea of the Shining Sea Bikeway, I think that's a town path.
It's a town path,
Yeah, but the Cape Cod Rail Trail, for instance, is a Department of Conservation and Recreation. Or if you're looking at something like the Minuteman, for anybody who in your neck of the woods is heading up to, Arlington and outside of Greater Boston, that's three different towns on one pathway. And then once that pathway is connected, soon, I hope, to a continuing network of pathways, what you're doing is kind of doing a patchwork of jurisdictions, which makes it very challenging. It's a whole other conversation, specifically around maintenance and plowing and all the rest. But again, if signage. So what Catherine was mentioning about a 15 mile an hour on the Shining Sea Bikeway, that's great. However, if we ever build a Bourne connection to get up to the Bourne Rail Trail, are they going to keep that same speed? And so if you're doing 15 miles an hour as the maximum on the Shining Sea, but then it goes up to 20 or goes down to 10, how is that actually going to be presented? And this is a good challenge that I'm very grateful that we have that problem, but it is a problem of jurisdictions.
Catherine, you wanted to add something? Go ahead.
I did. You had kicked this off with asking about lights, helmets, et cetera. So MassBike does something called Light the Night, where you as a municipality or town can apply for sets of bike lights, and then you find a safe place to stand out and give them free to riders. We're actually doing that in Falmouth on December 18th, in the Aldi parking lot, and we'll have a table and lights and everything else. Because in our town, like many Cape towns, we have a lot of folks who are workers who are required to wear black for their restaurant job, perhaps, and then get on their bike and they're riding home, often on Route 28, either sidewalks or the little bitty bike pathy part of it, unprotected painted bike path. So that's one thing that is done every single year to try and get more people using lights. And then my second note is we did a project with Safe Routes to Schools where our town's rec center had a back to school bash. So our committee said, hey, we'll show up, we'll bring 50 helmets, we'll partner with Safe Routes to Schools. We had coloring books, stickers, stickers are big. Bike lights. In 30 minutes, we fitted and gave away 50 bike helmets and 100 sets of lights and put people on a waiting list. We said, we'll order more, just let's get you on a list. So the need is huge. And people didn't know how to fit their kiddo's helmet. So, we went through that whole thing. They didn't know how to use bike lights. We gave them to the parents and the kids. There's a big need, big, big need. And I do believe that most parents want their children to be safe.
Of course, yeah.
And they're willing to learn and get it rolling.
Yeah.
So.
It's almost I'm thinking, when you have an infant, you can go to the fire department and they'll help you put your cars, the infant cars. Maybe we should have that with the helmets too, that they can go and they'll help them, figure it. Because it's, it's so important. Again, we grew up, we didn't wear bike helmets, but now, having had some friends who've had some head injuries from bicycle accidents, it's a very serious thing. A helmet can really save your life, even just on a regular bike. And I don't think people often think about just how dangerous all of these vehicles can be, right?
Yeah,
Well,
Mindy,
it's also
if
on a multimodal path, it's the mix of
Right.
vehicles
Yeah.
and people that is the real problem. Pedestrians, pedestrians with dogs, regular bikes, kitted out. I'm going to bust the KOM on this segment, people. E-bike, it's that mix
Mix,
that is so tough.
Aaron, what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say, to your point, if you've ever been to a bicycle accident where both have been moving in a pretty good clip, you realize there's some seen some pretty horrific injuries coming from that. People wouldn't think so because you think of a car accident being more severe. But and Catherine's right. We had a pretty significant accident this past summer on the bike path involving a pedestrian and someone on an e-bike. So yes, mixing modes of I guess maneuvering, walking around, and that was literally a terrible accident, but not negligence or anything on any part of the rider, but
It happens,
still pretty terrible.
Galen?
Yeah, I think I might jump in. I think one of the this is a good conversation point, I feel, of the speed differentials that are out there, of how everybody's kind of traveling on different clips. And I think what we've kind of have is that's where the real danger comes in. So if you're having an e-bike that rides on a road, I think the real danger is, you're in 45 and 50 mile an hour traffic sometimes, and you don't really want people riding on Route 28. But there they are because there's no real other way for them to get around if they're getting to work. And you know, there's a, especially in your neck of the woods, all the J-1 visa holders who are heading out. That's a, this is their primary mode of transportation in order to make your economy function, frankly. But then if you put folks on the bike path, what you're seeing, the speed differential of these 20 mile an hour or faster devices, then you have somebody who's walking 3 miles an hour, and that's where the real challenge comes in. So one of the things we're thinking about with this Mobility Commission as well is maybe there's design guidelines. Maybe there's ways that we could think, you know, not just now to catch up to the problem that we're seeing, but where do we want to be in 20 years, 50 years? What happens when we have 10 times the amount of users that are on these devices out there? Can we rethink how we're actually allocating space? Which is going to be a big challenge, and I don't know where the answer is at, but the standard path width of, you know, 12 feet or so, which is basically built for a bicyclist to pass two people walking, that's kind of the standard. That doesn't matter anymore. You know, there's the ways, the uses that are happening out there doesn't match where we're at today, let alone where we think we're going to be in 50 years. And so I kind of want that same thinking to go towards our roadways as well. I don't know what the answer is going to be, and I don't mean everybody should be going 20 miles an hour on the roads, especially in rural communities. That's really not feasible if you got to drive everywhere. And trust me, if you're driving on the Cape, you really are driving on the Cape. But the idea of how can we kind of put this all into context? Because we do want to incentivize people to get out of automobiles and get them other opportunities that are out there. We're seeing the demand really skyrocket. But again, maybe we need to think even bolder and to say what's going to happen when we have 10 times the amount. And that's maybe a conversation that I'd love to dive into in a future time.
866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after break. You're listening to The Point, and we are talking about the safe operation of electric two-wheeled vehicles with Jody Casper, Police Chief on Nantucket, Galen Mook, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition, Aram Gashgarian, Lieutenant with the Harwich Police Department, and Catherine Jansen, Chair of the Falmouth Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Got a couple of emails here. This is from, as a merchant on Main Street, and this is in Falmouth, I often see e-bikes doing wheelies on the street. It's only a matter of time before there is a tragic accident. What concerns me, though, is the e-bike speeding on the sidewalk with no regard to pedestrians. My customers have had very close calls when walking out my front door onto the sidewalk. I imagine that's a common complaint you get from a lot of businesses, right? Yeah, everybody's nodding their heads.
I mean, it is. I would note a couple of things. One is that it's not legal to ride your bike in downtown because of the mix of pedestrians and people going in and out of doors, et cetera. However, our main street, I mean, I never ride down it. I ride the parallel road, Catherine Lee Bates, and there is a multimodal path that's actually in permitting right now for Catherine Lee Bates. And so our plan is to point with wayfinding, point cyclists to the safe multimodal path with plenty of bike parking and safe crossings to walk Main Street. So yeah, it's true. It's not safe. In East Falmouth, where I live, if you're on 28, God, I hope you're on a sidewalk.
Yeah. All right, and then we've got, this is an email from Nantucket. Jill says, in my 39 years on Nantucket, riding my bicycle on the Nantucket bike paths and roads, I've never felt afraid until the last couple of years. With all crazy, inconsiderate riders on dirt bikes, motorcycles, and e-bikes, kids doing wheelies in the middle of the bike path, in the middle of streets downtown, passing so closely, brushing against my arm without any common courtesy of a warning, on your left, like we were taught as kids, wearing earbuds so they can't hear anything. They seem to be unaware of anyone else or any rules. It's a very scary situation, especially for moms with baby carriages and little kids on tiny bikes with training wheels, not to mention runners and walkers. Also, barely any of them are wearing helmets, which should be a law. I've been wearing a helmet for years. My sister was director of a head injury center for many years in Shrewsbury and had so many tragic stories from bicycle accidents, and this was many years ago, before e-bikes existed. I strongly feel there should be a licensing requirement, classes in safety, and the fast e-bike should not be allowed on the bike paths. Let's talk a little bit about that education. And Chief Casper, I know that you're trying very hard to do that on Nantucket. It's hard, though, right? I mean, it's very confusing. So what are your efforts in trying to help educate folks about the rules of safety?
Yeah, there definitely are ways to be successful in this area. It's challenging, but I think the way we've always thought about bikes is we're like, eh, bikes. And we don't, there's rules, but no one's really educating on them. We're not really paying a lot of attention to them. There's not a lot of enforcement. But now we're really challenged, right? To that person's credit. She's talking about it. And I think we all on here agree that this is a very dangerous situation. We're seeing collisions commonly with other pedestrians, with bicyclists, with cars. It's very dangerous. And so we're all working on this. The things that I think will be successful, our strongest partnership and our recent effort has been with the schools. They have been great collaborators in helping us to enforce this and teaming up with us. So I mentioned like having a fixed post at the bike rack. The school has a rule. You can't ride an e-bike on the campus. So you have to get off and walk. It's too dangerous. And if they see kids coming in double riding or with no helmets, the officer and the administrator are working together, have been over the last few weeks to address that. So we've seen a very dramatic change in these sorts of activities around the school, which has been great. I think a second area of partnership is really teaming up with the bike shops. A lot of us are in tourism communities. We have people coming into the community that aren't familiar with the laws. You can't drive an e-bike on a sidewalk. That's a Mass General law. Do people know that? Do people know that you have to wear a helmet? In Nantucket, we have a bylaw. Everybody has to wear a helmet, as we should, right? I remember when the motorcycle laws changed years ago and people pushed back. And now imagine how crazy it would be to see a motorcyclist pass you with no helmet. It would be so strange, right? But that it used to be different. So that's where we need to get to be with adults wearing helmets. There's no reason that, why would we protect children's heads and not adult heads? It doesn't make any, that's craziness, right? And we should be role modeling for children. This is, you wear a helmet, you're on a bike. So there's work to be done pairing up with bike shops, with the schools, certainly having classes that have been mentioned here, social media campaigns that make it very clear what the rules are. There's work to be done, but I think we can do it. I'm optimistic.
Let's talk to Lenny, who's giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Lenny.
Hello. I'd like to just concur that the e-bike situation is a problem. I'm a frequent runner and cyclist on the Shaughnessy bike way, and also roadways and sidewalks around Falmouth and other places. I wish I had a good suggestion about how to solve this, but I just want to add that I realize it's a huge problem, not just for me when I'm out there, but for other people that I talk to and from what I see. And there's a couple things that I'd like to mention. One is that I substitute teach at some of the middle schools in Falmouth, and I ride my bicycle to my job when I'm there, and I noticed that the bike racks are more full now than they were a couple years ago because kids are riding their e-bikes in, and I rack my bicycle up when they're racking their e-bikes up, and I know a couple of the kids and recognize them, and they may and I feel like saying get the hell off your bike and get one that pedals. And I consider the parents who not only allow but buy these things for the kids as the essential beginning of the problem. You know, why would you want your kid pedaling around or not pedaling around on something that's so speedy and dangerous when you could have them just on a regular bicycle? And so anyway, that's other rules on the bike path, like just saying on your left so that people know, and the enforcement and education and all those kinds of things. But I just want to add.
Lenny, thank you for that. And that sort of leads to the question of, it is the holiday season. People might be considering the purchase of an e-moto or e-bike. So what should, if you could talk to parents who are thinking about this, what would you say to them? Anybody who wants to chime in, what advice do you give a parent whose kid's been asking for an e-bike for Christmas? Go ahead, Galen.
I'll jump in. But I think the idea of I mean, first off, it's kind of great to see a resurgence of kids biking, regardless of how they're doing it. I mean, they're not on their phones. I mean, they're causing a bit of trouble doing wheelies in the street. Don't get me wrong, that does need to be curbed. But in the grand scheme of things, I think it is a healthy marker of society that kids are out and about. and doing what, you know, you might have done when you were a kid, Mindy, of riding around with your gang of friends. They maybe haven't had the education, the training, and the background. And we kind of have a society that kind of treats biking as a toy. And I think the idea that we need to treat it a little bit more seriously and kind of instill that in the youth. But I also want to say that it's kind of a good thing that this is becoming an issue, in my opinion, because more people are biking. And there's a lot of reasons that Lenny is seeing a lot of more bikes on the bike rack. And to be honest, I think that's something that we do need to encourage. But so with that said, I think my recommendation for parents is to say know what you're getting. Like, don't say no to your kid because they want a bike. And I think that's the classic, you know, get the bike under the Christmas tree type of conversation. Just know that there is a very distinct differentiation between the class ones and class twos that are slower speed. And then anything that goes above that really should not be given to anybody who, well, frankly, doesn't have a driver's license and understands the rules of the road, because those devices go much faster. You can break speed limit laws. You can be reckless. You can cause a hazard. So I do think that be very clear about not falling for the marketing and not listening to the kid. And they say, oh, I want this, you know, souped up device. And they say, oh, that's great. Really do some research and say, okay, is this technically a class one bicycle that requires pedaling in order to have the motor kick on? Great. And then if that then turns to that child being able to have independence, being able to go off on their own, being able to ride their way to soccer practice, everybody wins. But there
Know
should
what you're
be,
getting.
there should be a know what you're getting background.
All right. Let's talk to Beverly, who's calling in Boston. Hi, Beverly.
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm calling in a bit late. And
That's
if
okay.
you've addressed this question, then my apologies. But I live in Boston, and we have a preponderance of these motor scooters, motorbikes, but they're actually mechanized vehicles. And they're driven by guys that are kind of hooded, and they zip around corners, they go up and down streets the wrong way, they're delivering food. And I have looked for license plates on the backs of their bikes, but they are really fast and they're dangerous. And I don't know what you would call them and if they have to be registered and what type of vehicle they are. Maybe it's more of a question for Mayor Wu than Mindy, but if you could address it, I would I'd like to know.
Yeah, Beverly, I think that adds to the confusion, right? Right, Galen? It's like, what are these and who needs to be registered?
Yeah,
we just
exactly.
have about a minute left, by the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And that gets to the conversation the Micromobility Commission is going to have recommendations. It's not a city by city thing. This does need to be tackled statewide because transportation is a regional issue and you can't have one town or one city doing something alone. So I think this is something that needs to be taken up to the state house. It needs to be taken up to the RMV and MassDOT. And I do think there is a distinction between commercial use and public use or personal use. And so this is part of the mix that we're trying to figure out. So invite us back on probably in February or early spring, and hopefully we'll have some answers for you.
That sounds good. All right. And is there a good resource online for people to learn more about e-motos, you know, regulations, classifications? Is there such a spot?
It's a good question, too. I'd say stay tuned. When the Micromobility Commission has its recommendations, MassBike will be doing a roadshow. So stay tuned to massbike.org. But right now, we just have defined the class ones and class twos. So that's where we've put our official information. Everything else is very much a gray area.
All right. About 30 seconds if somebody wants the last word. Who wants the last word? Go ahead, Catherine.
I just wanted to note very quickly that let's all also center ourselves on the fact that the highest risk of death or serious injury is the interaction between a car and a bicycle or a pedestrian. So that is something we didn't talk about today, but improving safety of our roads on Cape, which is challenging, would be a huge lever to move to improve the safety of folks.
All right. Catherine Jansen, Chair of Falmouth's Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee, Aram Gashgarian, Lieutenant with the Harwich Police Department, Galen Mook, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Bicycle Coalition, and Jody Casper, Police Chief on Nantucket. Thank you all for being here and sharing this complicated issue with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.